Well, let me jump in here. We got a few minutes remaining. Began a series a couple of weeks ago in a needless to say a less than conventional way. I think those of you that were here, I began a series on the Holy Spirit and then sat down and we watched a video of Jerry Cook, who spoke at convention a couple of years ago, and then shortly, just a few months later, he went to be with the Lord. And so it's kind of a, I think it has even more impact, at least as I've listened to it again. It had great impact at the time, but listened to it several times. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if I had been really organized, I could have had a screen that would have had the web address where you could go and watch it. But if you want that, just ask me and I'll make sure you see that, because it's definitely worth, or those of you that may have seen the video and would like to see it again, it's a great, in fact, I'll just a couple of highlights. The title of it would be "Where You Are, He Is." Wherever, the idea is that wherever we go, Jesus goes with us. There he is. The presence of Jesus is wherever we are. And he talked about, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Yes, that's what Romans 8 says, verbatim. And because of that, we bring the very presence of Jesus into wherever we go. And there is a great need for us to be reminded of that and aware of that. That just the, we, doesn't require us necessarily even doing anything. Just being there and realizing that just the presence of Jesus brings wholeness. Now there may be opportunities we just talked about, opportunities to love or to embrace or to do something. But just the recognition of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us, so that wherever we go, we bring the presence of Jesus. In fact, someone mentioned, I guess it was Karen that was talking about, Pentecost, and it was just shortly after where Peter and John, remember, they show up at the temple. They're going for the time of worship, and they encounter this guy that's begging. Well, we didn't bring any money, but we brought the presence of Jesus. And as a result, he was miraculously healed. I mean, and so it's that kind of an idea. So, and the challenge is, are we aware of the presence of Jesus, in our lives and the power? I remember Daniel and I were talking just briefly this morning, and we both have motorcycles, and a little bit later today, hoping to get on them and take advantage of this warm weather. And those of you that have bikes, you know what I'm talking about. But I was, I don't want to say raised on dirt bikes, but I had dirt bikes at a young age and trails and rode them and just had a ball. I didn't experience my first four-stroke Honda until I was in Bible college, of all places. And I remember going out after night school. I was there, of course, completely to study and to get as much out of our time of being in Bible college as possible, but including going on late night bike rides in Hollywood Hills. But all that to say, I remember when I discovered the power band I didn't know about. And for those of you that, that there you go. And I just, it's like kicking into a whole another dimension, if you will. And it was like, where did that power come from? And I just think that there is more waiting for us in our relationship with God with the presence of the Holy Spirit than a lot of times we're aware of. And that's not to say that even if we've experienced, I'm trusting that all of us have, but it's just like the Holy Spirit just wants to take us and keep bringing new things and new awarenesses and new realms and realizations of what He has in store for us if we're just simply aware or inviting His presence and His work in our lives. Actually, that was just all under a little bit of a review of Jerry's video. Last week, Kent continued that series with the series on the Holy Spirit with a discussion on the Trinity. And I understand it was really well done. I was kind of hoping he was going to be here this morning to give him a little chance to... He's recovering from preaching. I think he preached more in May than I did this past month. But what was anybody a highlight or two of just his word on the Trinity? One of those things sometimes you can grab. Yeah, it was really good, but trying to grab a sentence or two. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of linking the two. You know, Jerry Cook made the comment that the Holy Spirit is not spooky, but there is a mystery. There is. It's not always easily explained, and that's what makes it a little bit challenging, if not a whole lot challenging, even to talk about sometimes. Because when I'm going to talk about something, I really want to be able to have a handle on it and grasp. And it's a little bit challenging because I'll tell you, I do not have a handle on this, the way the Holy Spirit works and what He wants to do. But I understand this. He has things that He wants to reveal to us, and He wants to work in us to accomplish things that are beyond imagination and even our understanding. Yes, please.
I think that a couple of things that kind of I think the point for me takeaways was, you know, he contrasted him being raised in a home where he had no exposure to God or church or anything, and that he was, and his dad was predisposed to actually never discuss it, whenever it was brought up, he would shut it down.
Yeah.
Gone by his previous position, he would have rejected the relationship with his wife. And that was the one portion of it. So it was not just mystery. What he did was able to kind of, what do we know? You know, and then he then kind of identified the nature of the Trinity. And he made the statement that really for us to have a clear and correct understanding really to understand all three of those components, how they play, come into play with that. And then he also helped us see where there's heresies, you know,
sure.
that come from that. So, you know, I can't fully explain it here, nor do we have the time.
Yeah.
But did that get recorded by anything?
Can't, yeah.
I really...
The first, Ty said the first part of it, unfortunately, he missed. But I just put it all on there, whatever was there.
Okay, anyway, so I would recommend going back to really cool, especially if you got the second half in there.
Yeah.
That's where it gave some real practical applications.
Good.
You know, I think started by saying that he knew you were going to enter into this series, and he wanted to make sure to understand, well, how does this Holy Spirit thing fit into our faith? And so he was saying you can't really pick and choose, and he gave some really good concrete examples of it, and then how people who did pick and choose, how they varied off the mark. And so I won't go into
yeah.
it, but I think if you really want to kind of dig in, and it's a good preparation for it. I don't know what you're going to be preaching on, but I get the general impression that it'd be a good primer, if you will.
Good. I know, I sure will. I
recently wrote a book called Forgotten God, and his main premise of the book is sometimes we treat the Holy Spirit as an add-on.
Yes.
He is a person of the Trinity.
You're talking about Chan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chan.
Yeah. Forgotten God. That's exactly right, and I think that's one of the reasons, several reasons, why I just feel like it would be good for us to launch into just a study of the Holy Spirit, because we tend to make reference and make statements here and there, but we don't really always grasp fully, and a lot of it is because there's just enough of mystery or enough of just kind of places maybe where the Holy Spirit's been overemphasized and the other side of it is underemphasized. And so I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit helps us to rightly emphasize in these next few weeks together. So Lord, help us to understand things of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe into us. Lord, your understanding and insight as to how you want to bring clarity and practicality in our relationship with God and with each other and with our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name. Let me just jump in here. I spent more time in the introductory things, and so I'll just try to do just a bit of an introduction this morning to where I believe the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. I guess if we could just do this one thing this morning is just talk about the Holy Spirit's grand entrance. Just kind of if we were looking at the Bible and were to identify where the Holy Spirit made his grand entrance, where would you say that happened? Where in the Bible? Okay, I heard who was baptized? When Jesus was baptized, okay. Acts 2, that's probably where I would have heard. Yeah, Acts 2. Okay, so let's go back to Genesis. Now you're tracking with me here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says this: Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, dun, 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 was hovering over the waters. I just, as I'm looking through and realizing, there's a great example of how we can just kind of even read right past that and not realize that, there's the introduction of the Holy Spirit. Right there, hovering, moving over the waters, over the face of the deep. And, the presence and the power and the working of the Holy Spirit at creation. I mean, just consider, if we could, there's the very next words that were spoken is, God said, what? Let there be light. You know, kaboom, you know, whatever. I don't know what it sounded like, but I didn't know what it looked like, but wow. And then from then on, just all of the points of creation, and, you know, just the recognition, the realization of here's the presence, you know, the result of the presence and working of the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't help but think that the Holy Spirit is still doing today, still wanting to do today, what he did and was doing at the very beginning of time, the very beginning of creation. And that same wanting to work in and through us and accomplishing things that in the midst of, even in the midst of chaos and darkness and difficulty, recognizing that the Holy Spirit desires, and in fact I believe is hovering over his church, over you and I, and doing things that we are probably, if not in most cases, completely unaware. But I for one am in praying, God, make us, open our eyes, make us aware of what it is that you're doing as you're hovering, and not, you know, having to pray, come Holy Spirit, recognizing that he is already here, hovering and moving and desiring to accomplish things that we are unaware of. Here's a picture talk about, there's so many different mysteries. You know, Mike, you mentioned, you know, just the Bible is full of things that, you know, we're still the mystery of God's amazing grace. I mean, just the whole salvation mystery, just all of that. But then just different examples. I think of Elijah. You know, he goes to the widow at Zarephath, and her son dies a little bit later on, and she comes and calls for Elijah, and he takes the boy, and the scripture says he stretched out over him. I mean, I'm not going to demonstrate. You'll be glad to hear that. But I'm trying to picture that, and it says three times he stretched himself out over the boy. He just basically got on top of the boy, and that is a picture of the Holy Spirit, if you will. And sometimes we feel dead, or maybe there are dead parts in our life. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is upon us in a way to release his life and his power over us. And too often, I guess the point is this, is not that we would focus on the picture of Elijah on the dead son that did come to life, but the tendency is for us to focus on the chaos, the absence of, the darkness, the challenge, the things that seem to overwhelm and to cause stress and to challenge our faith, and those, and realize that our focus needs to be on the Holy Spirit, and realize that he is present, and he is working, and he is doing things in spite of what we think or feel or see. There's another, I'll just hit on two more verses, and then we'll, I think we'll finish, put a comma here this morning. The verse that was spoke, or the word that Zechariah the prophet spoke, and he says, it's not by might, or exactly, and realizing that what does that look like? You know, we quote it, and we recognize that God's wanting to do something, but realizing that He is at work, that He is wanting to do things by His Spirit if we will allow Him. Here's another verse out of Isaiah. That was Zechariah 4:6. Out of Isaiah 60, let me read the first four verses. It says, "Arise." I felt like Genesis 1:2 and Isaiah 60 just seemed to go hand in hand. See what you think. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick," in fact, King James says, "gross darkness, thick gross darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light," or people will come to your light, "and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift your eyes and look about you." One of the speakers this week, Jerry Durman, in fact, he pastors in Anaheim. It's the church, it's called The Rock. And, he was talking about just what we all know, that we live in very dark times. He was quoting an author that says when we talk about the days of Noah, that we are living in an age that is like no other age, that really parallels the days of Noah like none before. And when you begin to realize, especially if you listen to the news and listen to some more news and listen and read, and it's just overwhelming. It's like, man, there's doom and gloom, and there's no hope. And yet to realize that if this, those things may be true, but if there isn't a day where there is greater opportunity and where we are more primed for allowing the work of the Holy Spirit, it's today. And so instead of just allowing the weight of that and the heaviness of that and the despair that can tend to come to that, it should be a signal to us, this is it! This is the time that the Holy Spirit wants to move in power and bring a light that do we not recognize? It's like, can we not recognize that the Lord rises upon you, that His glory appears over you, that people will come to your light. People are searching for to be delivered for hope in the midst of their darkness. And so if the Holy Spirit is present and work in our lives, and we're allowing Him to enable us to not to just see, but to step in. And it may be just as simple as I could go to Mexico over the weekend and build a house. It could be as simple as that. It doesn't, we sometimes picture allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us as though it's some, King James looking, super spiritual sounding, rather than just the practical offering of ourselves and making ourselves available to what He wants to do. One picture. As we were headed to the airport, we flew out of Long Beach Airport, instead of LAX, and as we're driving, I noticed that a lot of the palm trees, that there are palm trees everywhere, and had their branches were all up like this and tied. And, you know, I just thought, oh, that's interesting. And finally, I asked the driver that was taken. I says, you know, what is with that? Why do they? I'd never seen that before. He says, those are all newly planted palm trees, and I mean, they're fully grown palm trees. They're 20, 25 feet high, and they have just planted them. And I thought, you can plant a palm. It just surprised me. I would have never even thought that you could. Anyhow, it just kind of caught me, and I felt like the Lord, as I was last night just kind of looking through my notes again, and I felt like the Lord brought that picture, and that's exactly what He wants to do in different places, and if. Especially, you know, just right here in Philomath. Not that He wants to transplant and make up and down the street palm trees. That would look kind of cool, at least I guess in the summer. But that He wants to plant His people, and do something, you know, do a new work, a new plant, and that there would be. New life and you know it's maybe the picture was just for me, but just that realization that the Holy Spirit, you know, wants to do something in our town and in our lives, and as we would allow Him, as we allow Holy Spirit to have His way and His work in our life, that we would see things that we had never seen before, and that we would see people that are in need, that are in bondage, that there would be people that would be delivered and set free and ministered to. So, Lord, as we consider what it is that You're about, that You would help us in our understanding and realizing that You don't want us to be mindless and not have any grasp of what You're doing, but realizing that there isn't that great element of faith as we embrace what it is that You're doing and saying these days, that we would pursue an understanding but not be so bent on fully understanding every aspect and having everything spelled out before we take a step, that we would step and allow You to bring revelation and to bring insight and to accomplish what it is You're wanting to accomplish, Lord, and that we would accept it by faith. God, we recognize that there is great need today, and we realize that the Holy Spirit certainly is a gift to us, but it's not about a gift that we've got in our goodie bag, but it is a gift that empowers to bring people to an understanding of who You are. And so, Lord, we want to be Holy Spirit empowered to minister to the nations, to minister to the people. Lord, we want to see healing. We want to see wholeness. We want to see deliverance. We want to see life where there is death. We want to see light where there is darkness. We want to see hope where there is despair. We pray that You would move, You would hover over us powerfully by Your Spirit. We would pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Does seem warm this morning. So, well, may the Holy Spirit be making His presence known more and more in your life. not just on Sunday morning, but in your life as you go about your week. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What is,